I'm Audrey Tracy.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, but you already knew that. It's your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
And this is episode 172.
Oh, and look who's in the studio with me.
I'm back.
I'm so glad you are. I have to start off by saying, and I'll probably end the show by saying, thank you so much for filling in at the last minute.
Oh, my pleasure.
And it's my own fault. I forgot to schedule.
All good. I'm here for you.
So then I thought I could do this alone. And, you know, I just think it's the most boring thing in the world when I'm doing the show alone.
To listen to somebody drone on and on and on.
Right, exactly. It's much more better.
Much more better.
Much more better if somebody can put me in my place occasionally.
So oh, there, well,
that's your job.
Okay,
for
looking forward to that.
All right.
So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, my dear.
It's the first Tuesday in the new year.
It is the first Tuesday, and it's, wow, back to work, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Holiday's over. So, who are our guests this week?
Well, our guests this week are eBay sellers Rich and Nyla Syok. They're pretty well known in the seller community, especially among people who attend or are familiar with seller events. They host an annual seller event now called Ecom Chicago, which is very popular.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a very popular. I mean, eBay sends reps.
Yeah.
I have to
just not me, but that's okay.
That's all right. Me neither. But they like to send people who are camera ready and who can keep it together. That's so maybe that's why neither of us get asked.
That sounds like Brian Burke. He could do that.
No, it's been hard. I don't know. And they're not quite sure they're going to be able to do that event this year. But we'll learn more in the interview because
yeah, live events are tough these days.
Yeah, they're really tough. They sell under the user ID appealing signs. They sell, guess what, signs. And we're going to talk about how that particular marketplace has become so competitive. But then we're also focusing on, I can't forget, the fact that they were one of the 50 sellers selected for our recent round of the up and running grants for sellers.
Right.
They were very excited. And
well, congratulations to them. That's
yeah.
awesome. I know they've been in the eBay community for a long time. So
long
it's
time.
Lovely to recognize them.
Yes. You're taking over for Brian at the news desk. I hope you're ready. What's
okay.
the news?
All right. Here we go.
News.
Here's the news. So last week, eBay announced changes to final value fees for men's and women's sneakers listed in the athletic categories department. Mm. So effective January 19th, 2022, the final value fees for sneakers over $100 will be 8% for non-store subscribers and 7% for basic and above store subscribers. Insertion fees will continue to be waived for listings with a starting price over $100. Mm. Even with this final value fee rate, eBay is still the lowest fees among competing marketplaces and continues to offer the latest resources like no-fee verified returns, seller protection, and of course, authenticity guarantee. To date, eBay has authenticated about 2 million pairs of sneakers globally, with a pair of sneakers purchased every 4 seconds.
And we should make it clear that it's not like one person in a warehouse going, okay, there's 789,951.
Right.
Doing sneakers. It's a huge team.
We've got a big team of experts that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can read more about this final value fee change in the seller news announcements. And there's also a link there to an FAQ. And we'll put the links, as we always do, in the transcript for episode 172.
Yeah. We always put it in
there. Always
yeah.
with the good links. eBay also recently announced the 6 2021 winners of eBay's Entrepreneur Awards. The awards celebrate entrepreneurs who have used eBay's tools and platform to enter the global economy and build high-impact businesses while focusing on sustainability, refurbished goods, and creating businesses with purpose. This year's recipients of the eBay Entrepreneurship Awards hail from all over the world, including Canada, the UK, Germany, Colombia, Israel, and Hong Kong.
Wow.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
You can read the stories of each of these six sellers on the eBay Inc. blog, and of course, we'll include links directly to that in the episode 172 transcript.
That's right. Well, Audrey, thanks so much. Will you return after the interview to help me answer two questions that came in from sellers?
Of course, I would love to.
First, let's talk to Rich and Nyla. Our guests this week have been eBay sellers for almost 2 decades. They sell custom-made signs and plaques on eBay under the name Appealing Signs, and they are the founders and hosts of the annual Ecom Chicago Seller Event. Recently, they were among the 50 eBay sellers that were selected in the latest round of the eBay Up and Running Grant Program. Please welcome to the podcast Rich and Nyla Syok. Hi, guys.
Hey, Griff.
Hey, Griff. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having
good
us.
Good to hear you.
Congratulations for your selection.
Thank you very much. We were so excited when we found out. We actually looked at it and went, is this for real? And we happened to mention to one of our sons, and he said, Mom, are you sure it's not a spam?
Oh, so you know, little faith.
That's true.
Tell us about the application for the grant. What motivated you to actually apply?
We hadn't applied for this before, didn't even know anything about it until we were on the eBay Open this summer, and they mentioned something about it, and we thought, well, we'll give it a try. And the application was a lot easier than we thought. It asks basic questions, who we are, what our business is, why we wanted to apply, and this was a great opportunity for us. So we filled out the application, told them a little bit more about it, and why we wanted to get the grant money and what we were going to do with it, and sent it off. And then we pretty much forgot about it until, was it before Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving?
Right. Yeah, it was just at the beginning of this month. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we applied actually August 10th. That's quite some time ago. And just so everybody knows that the Hello Alice is the one that you apply through, which is what eBay uses. And then I'm not sure if they send it back to you guys to get the grants people or if they actually offer those through the company. So we really didn't know anything more about what Hello Alice is. But after we've been in the community now looking at different grants, they have a bunch of applications that you can apply for. I encourage everybody to go to HelloAlice.com and check it out. If you're a small entrepreneur, they're giving away money a lot, and all you have to do is apply.
The actual selection process does happen inside eBay. And I have to say, I've known you guys for a long time. I think I went to my first seller event that you had in the early 2000s. You had just started out. And I'm not on the selection committee on purpose. So I had nothing to do with your selection.
Oh, darn.
There was no nepotism here at all.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought we had somebody in the pockets, and we've known you so long. So I was wondering, but
$10,000. It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. And we had already planned to buy new equipment because we were on Windows 7 and we needed to get to Windows 10. But then we didn't know if our sign program and our cutter would work with that. So that meant that we had to upgrade that as well. We had already ordered our equipment and took the money out of our savings. And then lo and behold, we get this notice, our email saying that you won. Ah, that's wonderful.
New equipment isn't cheap in any business. What kind of equipment are we talking about that you needed to upgrade?
First of all, Windows 10 was not going to be supported by the computer that we have. So we needed to get a new computer. And then along with that, Windows 10, my software, which is a company called SignLab Software. We needed to upgrade that as well. And then all of that needed to work on our plotter, which we have an existing plotter that's almost 15 or 20 years old. I'm not even sure how old the plotter is, but it's been a workhorse. And when I talked to the plotter company, they said that we're not sure if it's going to work on Windows 10. And being that we can't be out of a business for a day, I said, well, then we're just going to have to order the new plotter. All in all, a lot of the money is spent. We're talking probably close to $7,000 or $8,000 has already been spent.
Well, you got $2,000 left over then. What are you going to do? Go on a trip?
I'm going to go to a bar and invite everybody for a drink. She won't let me do that, Griff. Trust me.
Well, yeah, based upon things are always coming up and things are always happening, we might need to save that money. But we do take an annual trip with our family. We go camping.
Oh, great.
And so we will do that this summer. And we generally will pay for our kids' camping because that's a way of getting them to come. So that money may go toward that.
So for that week or so when you're away, what happens to appealing signs?
We leave it on. We leave it turned out. We change our handling time. Mm-hmm. And we do have access to our phones. It's got Wi-Fi right at the camp. So if anything is pending and somebody has a real question, we'll just tell them that, hey, we're going to be back X amount of time. And it gets pretty chaotic when we come back. But you know what? We made money while we were gone. And, you know, it's kind of like people that get paid vacation. We sort of get a paid vacation, but we delay the work until we get home.
When you disconnect for this trip, do you really disconnect? I mean, you know, you've arranged for your business. It's going to still go with a different handling time. But do you sort of, I'm not thinking about the business now.
No.
I bring my laptop, Griff, and I sit up by the pool, and that's the closest to the Wi-Fi, and I will go in and check my stuff. But it's not like it's demanding, you know, so it's not a total disconnect.
We want to answer any questions that come in. We try very hard to do that.
What were you doing before you started on eBay? What year did you start?
We started in 2000. And before we were doing that, and this is one of the questions that came up on the application, we had a window cleaning business. And Rich and I have worked together for a long time. So we had a window cleaning business and we were doing Blockbuster Video.
Yeah.
And the owner, or I shouldn't say owner, the manager of the store asked us if we could do some window lettering or if we knew anybody who would do window lettering for him. And that's how we kind of got started. We didn't know, but we decided to check it out. And we found a company that would teach us and we bought the equipment. And it was a good way for us to supplement our income in slower months, like in the winter. It was a challenge, but it was also a lot of fun because it's a very creative business.
I had no idea that you guys were in the window cleaning business. And I have an image of the both of you in whites up on a scaffold on some huge building with squeegees washing windows. Was that what you guys did before peeling signs?
You're very close because I had extension ladders that extended up 40 feet. So I would be up on the top cleaning the top windows where I'm on balconies.
40 feet? And
it was quite a ways up there. And Nyla was on the bottom holding the ladder and standing so nobody would come by and hit because we had a chain of hotels, La Quinta Hotels in the area. We had, I think, six or seven of them that I can remember. And we went down as far as into Indiana to clean. And then at one point, I had 86 Blockbuster videos. We used to clean all them. And I had guys that worked for me in different territories that would clean in areas that were too far away from me to make it worthwhile. We were opening up Blockbuster videos as they were expanding. And we would be there almost all night, getting the place ready inside, cleaning all their mirrors and cleaning all of the stuff, getting them ready to open. So we were always there in the off time. We did whatever we had to do to make a buck. That was one thing they always asked me. They said, hey, we need to put the hours up on the, you know, onto the building or onto the windows, or we need exit and entrance signs on the glass. And I found a friend of mine, which I knew he did that business. And so I would go get it from him, buy it from him and install it and charge Blockbuster for it. And I said, well, hey, I could do this myself. That's how it worked.
There's probably no chance that you would go back to the window washing business.
No.
not at this age. And I have a hard time going up with a 12-foot ladder going up on my roof right now.
And that's one of the reasons we predominantly got into selling online and eBay, because the physical part of the sign business, doing installations, and a lot of them, you know, where you had to put cement in the ground or you had to put channel letters on a building, and that got to be difficult. So that moved us toward doing the online sales. So that's why eBay fit in perfect for us.
And we all know what happened to Blockbuster.
I wasn't going to go there, but yeah.
Needless to say.
You guys are still here. They are.
Yes, correct.
You got staying power.
Yeah.
You started selling on eBay in 2000, and you've remained active in this particular market when it comes to customized signs. How has that market changed in the last 20 years?
When we first started on eBay, there weren't anywhere near the amount of sellers that there are now. And you could pretty much dictate your price. And now you have a lot of different people coming on. You have a lot of people who we wonder, how are they doing it for that price? Because we have a lot of suppliers that we deal with, and they will only sell to sign companies. In order to get a discounted price, you really have to buy a lot of product. So the people who are coming on and they're selling it for very cheap prices, they may be here today, gone tomorrow. However, they keep coming. That's a big competition for us.
Is there a quality issue with those people who show up with such low prices?
Truly, this is part of the problem that I see, is the pictures that are showing up on the eBay platform are the same size of what ours look like. However, what they're not telling you is they might be on plastic. And a good majority of our signs are on a PVC, but a lot of them are on aluminum. And aluminum, right now, the prices of aluminum have gone crazy. And we deal with one of the largest manufacturers of aluminum in the country. And the painted blanks are very, very expensive. That is a big problem. When you see a price for something, beware, because obviously it's not going to be on a quality product that's going to last. And I guess that's part of our problem is that our stuff lasts too long.
Oh, well, I can vouch for that because I actually did buy some custom signs from you a number of years ago. They've been outside. Admittedly, it's California weather, but it gets really hot and it gets really rainy. They've been outside for the last almost 10 years and they're still holding up.
Awesome.
Yeah, I have to thank you.
Wonderful. I'm glad it worked.
Yeah. If you had the chance to ask eBay, specifically our product team, for features that would help your business velocity and help streamline your business, what would those be?
The customization is just starting. That started, we were on the beta, but it was so funny. They put it in, I think it was business and industrial.
Right, category.
And the category is something we really don't have too much personalization. They're starting to expand it more now. I am anxious to have it in automotive because we do a lot of vehicle lettering. We do a lot of boat names, boat registration numbers. And so once that gets in that area, that's going to be a big help for us. Right now, the biggest problem we have is people will buy and either they forget or something happens to the information and we don't get it. That's a big concern. So this way, if they have that personalization tool, when they go to buy and they have to leave that information, that's going to help us a lot with sales and with being able to respond to the customer and get their product out right away.
You know, our product team now listens to the podcast, so I thought this would be a good opportunity for you to tell them directly. That's why I asked the question. I had a feeling it had something to do with customization. We've had conversations about this for several years, and it was always very frustrating.
Well, the other thing, Griff, and I just want to add a point to is they, and I get it, where they got rid of the email address to connect with your buyers. Unfortunately, when you're talking about sending graphics over, you can't send anything over that's the right size or even readable through the message program. People don't want to see a little midget one-by-one piece that they're looking at. They want to see a good-sized graphic. And without an email address, we have no way to send it. And one of the things that we do that we like to do that maybe a lot of other sellers don't do is we will get a question about something. And if Nyla says, hey, give us the name, the color, and the font type, she'll send them a free design. And when we get that free design, 99.9% of the time, you're going to get the sale.
That's good. So that's good service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Being able to provide that level of customization and touch for the customer.
Correct. Yes.
What words of advice would you have for a new seller who's just coming on the platform and may have come to one of your events or your meetup? They're thinking about starting on eBay. What would be your word of advice to them about starting outright?
Check the platform, learn as much as you can, find other sellers, whether it's a meetup group. We have a meetup group right now that we're doing Zoom, and we used to have it was all sellers that been around for a while. Now we have a lot of new sellers that are coming in to get information. Don't just put something up there and not know anything about eBay. You need to find somebody that you can trust to give you help with things because it can be mind-boggling.
If it were super, super easy, everyone would be in the world would be doing it and no one else would have any other job, right? So
I agree, exactly. Yeah.
I think a lot of people think, oh, it must be easy. To someone who says, oh, come on, working from home, it's like printing money, it must be really easy. What would you say?
Oh, boy. Nothing is easy. And quite honestly, some of the changes that we see come across all the time, it's like, wow, we just learned something different about the same, you know, maybe a month ago or something or last year. Nothing is easy, but that's why I say it's to get some information. You know, YouTube videos are good, but be careful because people are trying to sell you stuff, sell you courses where you're going to have to pay. I wouldn't say it's easy, but if you continue with it, you'll find that it's a lot of fun. And it can be very rewarding. We just taught one of our friends, and she said she had a bunch of what was her mom's perfumes and things like that from...
Oh, the Avon.
Avon, you know, and she had a lot of Avon stuff, and she said she was going to just sell it to one person, you know, in the lot. And I said, well, you know, you ought to try it. And the last time we saw her, which was probably about a month ago, she was like, I'm having so much fun, and these people are so happy to get these old perfume bottles and things that she had, and... She's not making a ton of money, but she's getting rid of the stuff and enjoying it.
And her husband are both retired. And she says, this gives me a chance to be away from him.
Well, we won't mention names on the podcast in case somebody might be listening. So look at that. Selling on eBay can help your marriage in ways you probably haven't.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
When is the next? Is it still called the Elk Grove Meetup?
It's called the
eBay and e-commerce sellers meetup.
Meetup, yeah.
Oh, Chicago area.
Chicago area. I'm sorry.
It's a long name.
It used to be Chicagoland.
It was Chicagoland. Somebody else took that meetup. Now it's Chicago area because people were getting confused. So, and we changed it from just eBay to e-commerce because a lot of people in the platform sell on different areas. And January's is going to be, yes, I do have a new person coming on for January. Let's see, it's going to be January 12th. And she's going to talk to us about bundling products to sell.
Oh.
And she's very interesting. It's an amazing seller, and she's got a lot of great ideas. So that one's coming up. And then I think in February, I think we have Brian Burke back. I'm not sure, but we haven't gotten that far yet.
And this is all by Zoom.
Yes, correct. I've continued with the Zoom.
Once the pandemic passes us, will you go back to real in-live person events?
Oh, yeah. We love to go back and get the people again. I even thought maybe I would do a Zoom with a live event. But yeah, I would love to go back live and do stuff again, to see the people again.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? Well, Rich, I want to thank you and Nyla. Thank you for taking time to talk about your grant application. And congratulations again on being accepted. 50 out of, I believe, close to 8,000 to 10,000 submissions. That's pretty good. Something stood out.
Well, thank you, Griff. But
thank you.
It is quite amazing to us. And all I can do is encourage the people, please, you have to apply. You've got nothing to lose. This is not a huge application process. It's quite amazing. Well, we're so grateful because we really needed the money. I mean, for this operation to continue, it's awesome.
Yes, it's very exciting.
Continued success in 2022. And I look forward to making a trip out there someday, once again, once this madness has subsided and passed us. And I'm sure it will someday.
Thank you, Griff.
Thank you so much, Griff.
Rich and Nyla Syok of Appealing Signs on eBay were among the 50 recipients of the latest Up and Running grant here at eBay.
You got questions?
We got answers. Okay. And we got email. We got two. And I thought maybe you wouldn't mind reading the first one.
Certainly.
It's
happy
a long
to.
One.
Happy to.
Okay.
Okay. This is from David Melito. He wrote into podcast@ebay.com. The subject is questions about import fees and GSP, also known as Global Shipping Program.
That's right.
We'll be using the terms GSP a lot. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Hi, Griff. Thanks for the weekly podcast. Your enthusiastic voice always recharges my batteries. Oh, that's nice. That feels good. I wonder if you guys could do a feature on the Global Shipping Program and maybe get into some of the nuts and bolts of how it works behind the scenes. As a seller, I understand my obligations. I list my item accurately, I pack it securely, and then I send it to the GSP center. Then I'm pretty much done. GSP center is in Kentucky, by the way. However, I often get emails from potential customers that the import fees charged by GSP are either inflated, inaccurate, or unnecessary. Here's an example from David. And this is his buyer talking now. I'm interested in the book, but the conversion from Australia to US is wrong. At cart, it says $22 Australian. At checkout, it says something like $24 US for delivery, and then automatic import charges further of $14 Australian on a secondhand item, double question marks. Doesn't seem right. Can you help with the cost? ! So this is David's customer kind of
making a point,
feeling for a discount here. And here's David again. My response in these situations is to remain factual and polite. I told the customer I am not in control of what GSP charges, and I understand if he/she does not wish to purchase the item. But so often, customers insist that GSP has the wrong information about import costs. Is there a website or other resource I can direct my customers to better understand how GSP assesses shipping and import fees? Best, David, and he's got a little PS here. Keep preaching the label printer gospel. It's a game changer. Love it. And his eBay store name is Debit and Credits, which we'll put in the show notes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're joined the religion of thermal printers, David. That's good news. And I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast. This was a great opportunity, Audrey, to maybe address a few things about Global Shipping Program and to give sellers a tip they may not be aware of that can help them.
Okay, let's hear it.
The tip is coming in a minute. But first, to explain what the buyer in Australia, for example, sees, the price for shipping that a buyer in Australia sees for an item listed by you, David, a U.S. seller through the Global Shipping Program, includes a line for shipping. The cost is based on the seller's location to the buyer's location. Now, there's a cost for shipping from Kentucky warehouse to Australia, and that cost is included in that shipping cost that's displayed on a listing page. And if a seller offers free shipping, by the way, within the U.S., then the cost the buyer in the Australia sees is the cost to ship to them from Kentucky. They don't know that the first leg was free unless the seller posts that in their description, something along the lines like, domestic shipping is free. And in fact, when sellers do that, sometimes an international buyer will ask the seller, why is there a shipping charge? Not understanding that the free shipping indication in the description is an indication only for parcels shipped within the U.S. That's a little confusion. Sometimes it's probably wise not to mention free shipping in the description so that you don't confuse an international buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the line item on the listing page that shows import charges includes things like duties, fees, in some countries what's called a value-added tax or VAT, and any other applicable, in this case, Australian taxes or duties or fees that are assessed by the Australian government. And they're shown as a separate charge to the buyer on a separate line. Now, I want to talk about how you as a seller can actually see this. So the way that you can see this, for example, for your listing, you know that you've listed it with GSP. Say you want to see what that listing looks like to, I don't know, maybe an Australian buyer. Just go to eBay.au, or you can search for on Google for Australia eBay. And when you get to the Australian homepage, paste in or type in the item number for your particular listing, and that'll bring it up. Now, when you get to the listing page and you look at it, it's going to look pretty much the same way you would see it in the U.S. because there's one little step to go. Scroll down to the shipping tab, you know, on the top of the description, and you click that. There's a place for changing the country. And if you change your view from the United States to Australia, there's also a box for a postal code. You don't have to put anything in there usually. And then go back and look at the description. You will see what a buyer in Australia should be seeing.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, and suddenly it'll say something like no additional import charges at delivery and with a little globe icon. And that's an indication that this is a GSP shipment. Then it'll show the postage amount that that buyer will see. And it's displayed in U.S. and an approximation in Australian dollars. And then there's a line for import charges. And again, that's based on what the Australian government assigns to this category of item and the cost. And if it's an auction, then the amount you see will be based on the current bid price. If it's fixed price, it's what the fixed price is.
And when the auction ends, that'll probably be recalculated?
Yeah, it'll be recalculated with each bid, by the way.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense.
Now, the delivery, there's a line under that for delivery estimate, and it will show, you know, the window of time that it will take for the item to arrive. And in this case, I'm looking at one of David's items, and it's from February 3rd to Saturday, February the 12th. And then it has your returns and payment policies. But that import charge amount is not negotiable by you or by eBay or by anyone. If a buyer complains about it, David, tell them politely, as you have been doing, that there's nothing you can do to change it, that eBay will most definitely not change it. And if they have any questions at all about the amount, they should visit their country's import webpage. You can help them find that page by Googling import fees and then the country name, in this case, Australia. I did that. And the Australian import website shows up right at the top of the list. And then that little tip.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's always a good idea for the seller to see what the buyer sees,
yeah,
to understand their experience and what they're looking at. When buyers ask us sellers to change import fees or postage, maybe we can change the domestic postage, but we can't impact the rates that are calculated, in this case, by the Australian government, right?
Right. And I've had this actually happen to me where international buyers will use that the import charges are correct. And it's a way of trying to get me to lower the price overall.
Aha. There we go.
usually decline those requests, because the one thing you can control, if you're so inclined, is to change the item price. So if the buyer is trying to negotiate the item price and you're up for that, then they haven't purchased it yet. You can always send them an offer, or you can change the price in the listing. But I tend not to. I tend to say, when somebody asks me in this situation, I usually say, no, thank you. No.
Okay.
But David, your past response is a good one. Continue telling them, hey, I'm sorry, what you see is what you see. If you're not happy with the import charges, you're free not to purchase the item. I mean, it's basically what you can say. But buyers will say things like, well, it's not right. And they may want to argue with you and say, well, this is not what this should be charged. And you do not have to enjoin that argument.
Right.
You're not.
And sellers don't have the ability to change it anyway.
Exactly. So direct them to their, hey, you've got a question about this. Talk to your own country's tax, whatever it is.
Take it up with the feds.
Are they called the feds in Australia? I don't know. The fades.
Exactly.
Now I miss Liz.
Aww.
Liz, if you're listening, we miss you.
We do miss you.
Our next email is even longer than David's. Here, take a look at this.
Oh, my Lord.
Wait a minute.
It's like a novel.
Look at that.
Maybe we should abridge it.
Nah, let's read the whole thing. I mean, look at the two of us here in this studio. It's not like we're going anywhere or have more pressing things to do right now.
It's that week between, we're recording right now, and the week between Christmas and New Year's where nothing ever happens.
You know what they call that in the UK?
No, what?
Merry in Betwixtmas.
Betwixtmas.
In Betwixtmas.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that so British?
Right.
Yeah. They make things up.
I love it.
Anyway, why don't we split it up then? Because it's so long. You can do a bit of it. I'll do a bit of it.
Okay.
And I'll start.
Okay. Sounds good.
eBay seller Barbara emailed the podcast with what's basically a novel at ebay.com to plead. She starts off her novel pleading. Please continue the podcast, especially for the multitaskers in the group who prefer getting updates in audio form rather than having to go to a website and read them. I'm sure I'm not alone in my habit of listening to the podcast, sometimes several times, when packing up items or driving to the post office. An at-home business can be a lonely endeavor. Griff's cheerful tone is like having a friend in the room when completing those solitary and mundane tasks. Where's the violin? It makes a difference.
Okay, couple of comments.
Yeah, what?
Griff's cheerful tone is like having a friend. Did you, is she your buddy? Did you pay her for this?
No, I have no idea who it is.
Oh.
I'm outraged.
Okay.
Suggest that to me.
And comment number two, what is Barbara talking about when she says, please continue the podcast? What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I just made what I now realize might be considered by some to be a very passive-aggressive ploy to get more people to send us questions.
You passive-aggressive?
I know,
never.
Right? Anyway, what I did is I said if you don't start sending questions in, the podcast may not have a future. And it does seem that some listeners like Barbara here were alarmed by my poor attempt at humor and actually thought the podcast was in dun-dun-dun. Peril.
Peril. Oh, brother. Okay. All right.
Well, I did try everything else short of the old National Lampoon tactic of buy this magazine or we shoot this dog.
What are you talking about?
You don't know about this?
Mm-mm. What is that?
You don't know in National Lampoon? I'm showing my age now.
Okay.
So it's a magazine in the 70s.
That was before my time.
Yeah. It was an outgrowth of the Harvard Lampoon, which is a humor
mm-hmm.
magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And the National Lampoon got in a lot of hot water by their subscription plug. In the magazine was, you subscribe to this magazine or we shoot this dog. And there was a photograph of this cute little dog with a gun up against
his
head.
Oh, my God. With his puppy dog eyes.
I laughed. A lot of people didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that was controversial at the time.
It was. Yeah, it was very controversial.
Okay. I'm going to take over now. Barbara continues.
All right.
Yes, there are several reselling-related podcasts, some of which are decent.
Yes.
But most are hosted by those who take little pride in creating a truly professional business and focus instead on flipping or making a quick buck or dodging or complaining about taxes. Grow up. That's Barbara's sidebar.
This is Barbara talking, not you and I. I just want to make that clear.
Or finding ways to ship a ceramic mug in a priority envelope, no matter what the package will look like to the buyer, etc. The eBay for Business podcast focuses instead on taking the long view, taking pride in one's business.
Oh, I like that takes pride part.
Yeah. Like threatening listeners with pulling the plug if they don't send questions. Real professional. A lot of pride there. Anyway, Barbara continues. Learning about and following best practices, building and scaling up, giving a lot of thought about building a brand one can be proud of. It offers ways to turn a home business into a legitimate way of making a living that you can be proud of without minimizing the effort it takes to do that. The reselling community needs this steady and professional voice. Are you sure you didn't write this yourself?
Scouts on, or
is this a plant?
No, I did not write it. It's not a plant. It's Barbara. It's legit.
Okay.
Go on. I want to hear more.
Chapter 2 of this novel. All right. One suggestion I made to the eBay for Business Facebook page that has never gotten a response, however brilliant I think it is. Why not require rather than suggest that buyers contact a seller before leaving negative feedback?
Oh no, this topic again. Ooh. It was going so well, Barbara.
Oh no, negative feedback. Okay, Barbara continues. You could give the seller perhaps 24 hours to respond, and then the buyer could leave it. This idea came after it took me several calls to eBay to remove negative feedback that was left in error. One was for an item that I had mailed the previous day, and tracking showed it hadn't even left the state, let alone arrived damaged. And the other one was for an item that the non-English fluent buyer thought was something else. Both of these could have been easily resolved if the buyer had contacted me first. Think of all the negative feedback responses that begin, quote, buyer never contacted me. I would have given a full refund or made it right, end quote. It could save your eBay staff and sellers thousands of hours and time and frustration, honestly. Despite your encouragement to just move on, a little negative feedback is expected. Don't sweat it. Truthfully, most of us do react to unjust negative feedback. I think I'm in the majority who would probably say guilty as charged if I screwed something up, and I have screwed things up. But fortunately to buyers who contacted me first and gave me the opportunity to make it right. Legit feedback is a lot easier to move on from. Isn't this worth beta testing at least? At any rate, I hope you continue the podcast. You will be very much missed if you don't. Thanks for all the work you've put into it. Best, Barbara. And of course she has a response. I mean, of course she has a
postscript.
A postscript, yes. In response to your nudge, I purchased a thermal printer last year and agree that it was the very best thing I've done for my business since I standardized my packing and shipping. Why not offer those as items you can buy with the shipping supplies coupon? She got a couple of suggestions here.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, don't worry, Barbara. I think we've established that the podcast is on solid ground.
Well.
And not in danger of ending if Griff can just keep it together.
Yeah, I'll try.
As long as a certain someone doesn't continue to resort to empty threats to get questions.
What? What are you talking about?
So, Griff, feedback. Barbara's suggestion. What do you think about all that?
Well, first, let me tell you why. I love this idea of the shipping coupon, the eBay shipping store having like printers you could buy. But they focus in on packing and shipping supplies, and they don't, they're not really, that's not what they're built for. Plus, remember, eBay subsidizes a big piece of that. That would be a big bill. But there are other ways of doing it. And we'll talk in the future about how you can, you know, look for bargains and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, what we will do, I think, is that we're planning in 2022 to maybe give a few away on the podcast.
Ooh, there we go.
To people who send in questions.
Brilliant.
When it comes to feedback, Barbara, I think you seem to know, and I think most people know how I feel about feedback.
Which is?
It's not worth worrying about. Yeah. And yeah, it's probably human to be a little upset when somebody, you wake up one morning and you see there's a negative feedback for something, whether it was, you feel it was deserved or not. But over the years, you may have noticed, you may have made the assumption that eBay has been demoting feedback as a factor when it comes to your future on eBay. And it's true. Right now, it has no tie-in to your performance at all. It's complete,
you're not evaluated on your feedback.
Not at all. It's a subjective back and forth between a buyer and a seller. And I acknowledge that people are human beings and no one likes to get a little criticism. When I think about myself, I hate getting criticism. But when it comes to negative feedback, I started looking at it several years ago as a marketing opportunity. Where somebody's left me a negative, I can respond. And I know that from our own data internally, that buyers focus in on those responses that a seller leaves to buyer negative feedback. And if you respond with something that's calm and professional, and even a mea culpa, whether it's deserved or not, it's going to help that buyer to make a decision to say, hey, this is a good seller. I never asked for them to be removed. And in fact, I got to tell you that now that I'm into this mindset 100%, eBay removes negative feedback sometimes automatically if you meet certain criteria. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, that makes me a little pissed off about that.
Ooh.
Because, you know, I feel this is a great example of street cred.
Right.
That Griff got a negative feedback and he did answer it professionally. And then it's gone. And I feel like, eBay, give me back my negative feedback.
Well, if you think about it, if you're a buyer and you're evaluating buying something from two different sellers and one seller has feedback that has not been responded to, and the other seller has feedback that they have responded to and said, you know, either I'm sorry because I screwed it up or contact me and we'll make this right. Like, that's the customer service on that second seller that's really shining through. And that first seller doesn't seem to care about the customer service, perhaps.
I understand the motivation, but I maintain that any seller that spends hours and hours a year chasing after getting every single negative feedback removed, it's a waste of time. That's time you could be spending on your business. Like I said, it has nothing to do with your performance. And I did have, it was sometime in the last year, and darn it, if it's not gone, there was a negative feedback from somebody I sold a CD to, and the case arrived cracked, and they just left a negative feedback. And I understand, if I got a cracked case, I would too. So I put my professional response. I said, I'm sorry that happened. I should have probably packed it in more bubble wrap or, you know, in a thicker envelope. And I will from now on. But in the meantime, please check your messages. And in the messages, I said, don't look for another one right yet. I found one on eBay that's brand new. And I bought it. I'm having it shipped to you. Now I'm going to be out, like, when it's all said and done, about $10. But that buyer was so happy.
Yes.
They came back and bought some more CDs, which I repacked nicely. And that's why I'm not in business for a pat on the back. I'm not in the business so that every morning I wake up and think, I've got 100% feedback. I have a halo. I'm a special angel. And I'm not in business to make an active choice that when somebody criticizes me, then I'm going to, like, throw up everything in the air and just be so upset.
Right.
My purpose in being in business is to get customers, and the customers I have that have taken the chance and bought from me, I want to make sure they have a good experience. My experience with feedback is no reflection on them. So if they left me a negative, that's, there's still a bigger issue. There's a top of the priority list is, well, what went wrong and how can I fix it? Right. I don't even need to put that in the record. I just, that's what I want to focus in on, not the fact that you left me a negative. And don't remove it. It's fine. I don't care about feedback. I care about your experience.
Right.
I know I'll get email on that one.
Let the hate mail begin.
And Barbara, my final advice to Barbara would be not to worry. And anyone else who might have been unduly alarmed by my hinting that the podcast might cease to exist unless you send more questions.
You know, you can always catch more flies.
Yeah, I know, with honey. But how can I resist an opportunity for drama? Ugh. Such fun!
We do love drama.
I know.
Okay, if you want to join the fun here on the eBay for Business podcast, call us at 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630, or Fido here. His future doesn't look so good.
Uh-oh.
And the best part, you can call that hotline at any time of the day, any day of the week. You can leave your question or comment, and if it's appropriate, we're just going to put it on the air. What about that?
Well, there we go. And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person like I am, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And we still have boxes upon boxes upon boxes of them. So if you email a question in, include your shipping address, and we'll send you an eBay for Business podcast mug.
Oh, good for you.
And it won't be in a priority envelope.
And 1,000 pieces.
No. No, it's that part of the podcast that some people roll their eyes every time we do it. But don't forget your daily podcast to-do list.
Okay. Number one, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Number two, did Santa leave you a thermal printer under the tree? No? Then I'd suggest you consider divorcing Santa and finding a life partner who knows what your time is really worth. It's worth a fortune. And marry someone who's going to gift you one next year.
Divorcing Santa. Tip number three, check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we've been referencing during the episode.
Now on our next episode, which is episode 173, we'll revisit our good friend Stephen Weller. Do you know Stephen?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Stephen's an eBay employee, full-time, not part-time, full-time eBay employee, who also sells full-time on eBay. And when I asked—
And does quite well.
Oh, and when I asked him, you know, I thought maybe he's doing like me. Maybe he's selling an item a day. That's about my average.
Right.
I was shocked. This guy's selling thousands of items a month. I don't know how he does it. So we'll find out. We're going to talk to him.
There we go. I'd love to understand how he does that.
Yeah, me too.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week, Rich and Nyla Syok of Appealing Signs.
And thank you, Audrey, for filling in this week. You know, you're a real peach.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm happy to do it. Can I read the tag outline?
Oh, under the circumstances, be my guest.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
Well done, dear. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you so much.